Hello, and welcome to Red Conversations. I'm your host, Judy Murdaugh, interviewing Leif Hansen. Leif Hansen, founder of Spark Interaction, is a nationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and leadership coach who has been working with groups for over 25 years. His workshops have been featured on a variety of media, including the LA Times, NBC's Today Show, and PBS Media Shift. Leif has inspired thousands of participants using highly engaging, playfully transformative, and insight-producing processes. His passion is helping people to activate their leadership capacity by creatively expressing their most authentic selves in ways that make this world a more caring, inspiring, and fun place to live. So Leif, welcome.
Thank you so much, Judy. And I feel welcomed.
Good. And aloha to you.
Yes, aloha to you and to all our listeners.
Cool.
All the love that is embedded in that beautiful word.
Yeah, it is a beautiful word, isn't it? Are you picking up some Hawaiian or Polynesian, I guess it would be?
Very little, right now, just the kind of basics like aloha and mahalo and, some name places. But I would like to learn some more. It's a beautiful, beautiful, playful language.
It is. I agree with you completely. I'm curious, is Hawaii going to be a permanent home for you, or is this more of a kind of a temporary kind of hangout in Hawaii for a while?
I'm curious too. Here's what I can tell you. I can tell you that I have dreamed for years of not being in the Pacific Northwest during the winter. So minimally, it's a chance to experience that dream come true. But I'm also entering a season of life of kind of experimenting with a nomadic lifestyle. My work is flexible enough and my family situation has changed enough that, of course, COVID-19 affects that some, but I'm playing with being a little bit more nomadic and seeing how that works out. But I would be surprised if Hawaii makes it into a regular part of my yearly rhythm.
That sounds pretty great.
Yeah, I love it.
One of the things that you I received in your, I guess, kind of a media packet was you call yourself high touch and high tech. And that's very intriguing to me. So could you say a little bit more about that? What does that mean?
Yeah, sure. Well, it became very meaningful when COVID happened, because my previous engagements in the last few years were primarily on the high touch side. Interactive. I'm a creative facilitator. You may know I use the term play formation, transformation through play. Also, sort of playing off the idea that mere information doesn't really change us. It's actually experiencing the information. That's sort of the high touch side. Mm-hmm. And when all of those events got canceled because of COVID, it was thanks to my high tech side, which had been doing Zoom classes and other kinds of online events for years, where the two came together. And I actually created an offer called Facilitating Engaging Online Events. So that was an opportunity to have, in the literal sense, we're not touching each other, but in the interactive, interpersonal sense, it's sort of the high touch, open to people connecting on a interpersonal, emotional, psycho-spiritual level, and then using technologies like Zoom to facilitate that.
So as a follow-up question then, what kinds of things do you do to help like a Zoom meeting feel more intimate? Because that's, that's what I'm hearing from you. It is really difficult to it's hard to truly replicate an in-person experience, even with, fairly good technology. So just, can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So part of it is helping people. What's great about Zoom and what's sort of the game-changing technology with Zoom is the breakout rooms. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that is that when you have a large gathering with people, it's really hard to avoid the old sort of one person talking to many.
Right.
And to have it interactive, because only a few people get to interact. So with breakout rooms, you can kind of have a more intimate setting so people can feel safer. Mm-hmm. And it's more horizontal in terms mm-hmm. of sharing and less just vertical. So some of the things might be reminding people they have a body. And so sometimes mm-hmm. I'll start a meeting with asking people to all take a shape with their body to how mm-hmm. they're feeling in the moment. Mm-hmm. And maybe make a sound with it, or to take a shape of how they want to feel in a sound. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I will pretty quickly go into breakout rooms and give people anything as, you know, as simple as a prompt of a question mm-hmm. to an activity or a game that's taught that's very interactive, gets people. Nice. So anything that kind of helps people remember that they have a body, that could be... Right. Getting up and dancing or stretching mm-hmm. or taking a shape, things that mm-hmm. maybe incorporate the environment, asking people to find an object from their room or their desk and to tell a story about it. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's just sort of silly ice melter type things that I would do in a real world setting too. One mm-hmm. I learned, I wish I remember who I learned this from, but one of my favorite recent ones was you have everybody turn off their screens. And in 1 minute, they have to find objects in their room to create a hat.
Oh, wow.
And then so everyone goes and creates some kind of crazy hat. After a minute, they turn their video back on. And cool. Here we all are with these silly hats. So it's just sort of like the silliness, the humor gets us connected to our humanity and, you know, totally. Creates more of a sense of safety.
Feels also like you get to be a little bit more of a little kid.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Get past our adults' fears and ego and all that stuff.
Exactly. It sounds really good. So there was a question came up for me as you were speaking. Oh, I know. How did you get into this?
How did I get into this? So can you ask that question again?
Yeah, sure. The question was, you know, we've known each other for quite some time now. And I've always kind of known that you did this work, but I'm curious how you got into it.
Great question. I would say the sort of watershed moment was finding out about an organization called the Applied Improvisation Network. So I had interviewed a wonderful person who is now a friend and peer named Rebecca Stockley, known as the Improv Lady in the San Francisco Bay Area. Mm-hmm. And she told me about this conference. And so I went to my first conference up in Banff, the Center of the Arts. And it was a come to Jesus moment. It was like, oh my God, here are people who understand the power of experiential education, playful, play mm-hmm. and creativity. Mm-hmm. And there were consultants and teachers and trainers and presenters and counselors and coaches. And so I got involved on two levels. One ended up being a short-term blessing and a long-term curse. And that was because of my high-tech side, to bring it back to what you asked before, I sort of surprised the whole network by creating a standalone private social network for them. This is back before social media was even really a term. And through the Ning platform, they had a really old 80s, not 80s, but a really old looking website. And they loved it. And mm-hmm. it ended up really becoming fundamental to the network growing. And it went from a few hundred people to right now, I think the Facebook group is 8,000 people. And they started doing regional gatherings. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I got involved with them on a tech level and on their board and helped grow it. But I also started doing my own events. I started kind of experimenting with this concept of applied improvisation. Mm-hmm. So applied improvisation is basically the field of study that takes the principles like yes and just show up and mm-hmm. collaboration and mm-hmm. All these concepts and the activities and games and applies them to various developmental settings. So it might be, you know, working with a team and showing them how improvisation helps mm-hmm. increase their self-trust mm-hmm. and collaboration and gets them in a cooperative spirit of yes and mm-hmm. gets them past their ego and creates a culture of mm-hmm. of trust and creativity and innovation. And so started just diving into that stuff and gradually kind of found my way. At first I was doing everything. I guess in some ways I still am doing everything, but you know, I started doing professional development events and dipping my toes into the team building world, and eventually created my own sort of style and the a retreat that was really sort of my favorite, which was I shouldn't say was, is. I still want to continue it, but COVID has put it on pause.
Right.
And that's a retreat called Leela, which in Sanskrit means divine play. And so that was it's a retreat that really brings together personal and spiritual development with play and creativity and improvisation. And that's what those retreats were about. Does that answer your question?
It does, actually. It helps me. I kind of knew these things about you, but I didn't know, like, on a time scale, sort of how things, like, what came before what. Because you have, like, if somebody were to look at your biography, there's just, like, a lot there, you know? And there are, like, you know, threads that are constant, like, play and interaction and fun and things like that.
Improv and...
Yeah, exactly. But I wasn't quite sure, like, I guess, like, specifically how did they show up in your life and your work? So that's really very helpful. Yes. You put some things in context for me.
Yeah,
so
I think
thank you for that.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Sure. So first of all, I guess one of the things I want to say is I really hope that COVID is going to be gone in a year. Because listening to you, it just really it just really makes me feel like a really deep sense of just kind of missing out right now. You know, and sort of the face-to-face in person, which is, I don't think, you know, we realize how precious it is to us until we don't have it for an extended period.
Yeah.
Even a short period, you know? So, Leap, I know, like, you now have started sort of an online community. Is this a new thing? Is this something you're doing because of COVID, or how does that sort of fit into the broader work that you've been doing?
Yes and yes. I would say whether I would have done this if COVID wasn't happening is a good question. It sort of ended up being a happy accident. So I think because of COVID, and because a lot of my events have been online and sort of a desire that a lot of people have to stay connected, you know, and unfortunately right now that means sort of digitally only in Flatland. I found out about a network, a platform called Mighty Networks that a lot of people have been moving towards as a private network as they get burned out on the manipulation and advertisement and drama and overwhelm and, you know, on the big ones like Facebook.
Right.
So it's a mixture of me wanting to take my intention and attention away from the big ones and like really care about and with a specific community. I'd say that's one puzzle piece.
Okay.
Another puzzle piece was wanting to have a place where richer conversations could come together. And then the third was like, oh, wow, this particular platform allows me to take my courses and my private circles, you know, like a coaching group and book groups, and put them all together in one handy place. And, you know, so, oh, and then I guess there is a business model option part also. And that is that those of us that do these sort of open enrollment events, it can be difficult because your income flow is kind of really up and down, you know, it's just sort of like you're constantly hustling to kind of get the up and down of the events. And so from a business plan perspective, I thought, how can I create enough value for people on a consistent basis that they would pay a membership fee and that I could get enough people to at least get some of my basic needs met, you know, my on that more consistent membership level. So, you know, yes, just sort of launched a few weeks ago, and I'm doing the, actually tonight, the 1 month free ends, and tomorrow starts a 2 week free trial period for people. But yeah, it's just a chance to come in. There's a lot going on there. I think, you know, but I'll say for your listeners that I decided to have it be a goal focused membership site. So it's focused on people who are interested in meaningful work, enriching relationships, lifelong learning, courageous creativity, and deep well-being. All of the discussions and the events and the courses are focused around moving towards one of those goals.
Got it. Okay. The metaphor that kind of comes up for me as you're speaking, this is the image that came to mind for me, is it feels a lot like kind of like a college or university. And I mean that in the best possible way. So what I think about is that, you know, there's always like, you know, it's not like super structured where you have a curriculum and you're working towards a major, but it does feel like it's kind of like, you know, like a university for lifelong learners where, you know, you can literally sort of like look at the virtual bulletin board or whatever and see all sorts of cool things going on and you know, ask yourself sort struggling with like a metaphor for what this group is. Because when I hear you talk about it, you know, like it hits a lot of like yes buttons for me, right? You know, like all these things you talked about. But I was trying to get a structure in my mind that was relatable to my 20th century self.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Well, I appreciate two things. One, that you have been looking for a metaphor and that you picked that one, because I've been wrestling with it too, because it is sort of this strange combination of, you know, social site, professional development center, co-working space, collaboratorium. So I ended up, and I actually did almost go with the term academy, which is similar to university, Spark Life Academy. I think the reason I went towards, I steered away from community. At first it was Spark Life Community. And then I'm like, you know what? Let's not pretend that really deep community can happen that much in a digital world. We need the real world community. And everyone's kind of burned out on everyone using the word community. And so I'm like, I steered away from that. But collective still focused on, it's a collection of people, it's a collection of intents, it's a collection of resources and classes. And so that's, but maybe I'll change it to academy.
Well,
we'll see.
I mean, just to give you also a, just another example, when I was doing my life coach training, which was, you know, a really long time ago now, which is kind of hard for me to wrap my head around, the organization, if you will, that was offering the coach training was called Coachville. And it was the person who founded it was Thomas J. Leonard, who is sometimes, I don't know if you're familiar with Thomas, but he was the person who really sort of, I think, took what we call life coaching and really kind of put it into the mainstream. Sadly, he died at a very young age. He died literally 2 years. Yeah, it was really sad. Like 2 years into Coachville even being a reality, but I really thought I thought Coachville was just kind of a cool place, and it had a really strong R&D arm because Thomas, by nature, was very much a somebody who really liked, you know, kind of putting new ideas into action. I would say that would be the best way I can put it. So there were a lot of programs, just like structured programs. Like the one that really hooked me in was one called Passive Income. And that just hooked me in. I just thought it was like the coolest idea I'd ever heard. But he had a lot of really, really great content ideas. And then in addition to that, there was a live, what he called the Graduate School of Coaching, I think, which is what I enrolled in. And the thing I liked about it was a nice container for a lot of like really cool things. And the Ville, the little V-I-L-L-E thing came from Thomas's partner was French Canadian. And I think Ville had a specific meaning of kind of a collective. So it had a little bit of that vibe to it.
Yeah. Village, collective. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Something like that. I didn't quite get it because I'm not French Canadian and it doesn't have the same meaning for me, but Thomas was a smart guy and he did a lot of really interesting things. So so a question that I have for you is what's challenging for you? You know, you're really like you really manifest or, you know, work towards manifesting some really big ideas. And I always, you know, mm-hmm. want to find out from people what gets in your way and, you know, what helps you deal with it.
Thank you. I would say that the top challenge is probably something that just constantly has to be tamed. I seem to go through a cycle where I will sort of my yes cycle. I'll get a bunch, you know, be in a very creative, you know, a lot of ideation, a lot comes my way, a lot of opportunities, and I'll say yes, and I'll think mm-hmm. I can handle, I'll create new projects and offers and classes. And then I have a hard time sort of being able to manage my time in an efficient way and also not feel scattered. And so I'll kind of go through this, okay, time to pare down. And then I'll really harness my energy and I'll get like pared down, like really focused. But then that creates this thing that people feel that attraction of like, I'm in this sort of like really potent place mm-hmm. and a whole new set of opportunities and relationships and possibilities come up. So there's a strange flow that happens. And so probably learning how to say no a bit more often and discern the timing for things.
Yeah.
And some time management skills would be helpful with that. Let's see, what are some other challenges? You know, in the realm of visual design and marketing, I think that sort of being a very involved in many things and many words, like there's a muchness to me that some people find interesting and attractive, and usually if they're like that, but a lot of people I think can either find themselves overwhelmed by energetically or by the words or by the graphics, because I'm horrible at my, you know, it's always better when I hire someone else to do my graphic design and my marketing and stuff. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I assumed your question was more around business, but
no,
I wasn't sure if you meant personally or
it can be anything, yeah. Leif, because I think for people like yourself who are you embody what you do, you embody what you believe in. You know, I think that the line between personal and professional is usually pretty thin for most folks. Like
yes, definitely.
Because mm-hmm. you kind of are what you do. Which you know, is a beautiful mm-hmm. thing, and it brings up its own challenges.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so let's see. I'll say one other one, be a little more vulnerable in the personal realm. Of course, again, they all show up. Let me just pause for a second and see. You know, this has been a really big 2 years for me. Shifting my life and my energy and my time from being in a almost 25 year marriage and with a daughter and kind of a relatively traditional domestic life to doing a lot of really deep inner work and coming to a decision about 2 years ago to a year and a half ago to end the marriage. And so I would say the challenge that I have been working through, and I think it's just the human challenge, it's a lifelong challenge, I would call the learning to be a we, you know, and that's the loving myself and loving other people. And you go to one side of the extreme and you're isolated or narcissistic and and only focused on the, like, I'm going to do whatever I want,
which
is great and important to follow your soul. You go to the other side and you end up being a people pleaser or a martyr and sacrificing really who you are.
Right.
So the same journey that I help my coaching clients with is the same journey I'm on of, like, really honoring myself and other people and that I love, and trying to see how that dance plays out.
Right. That's a very, that is a challenge that I hear coming up time and time again. I mean, it comes up for myself as well, of course.
Yeah.
And the sort of thing about, like, how do you be how can you be really true to yourself? I mean, and being true to yourself is one of those, it's a phrase that doesn't even begin to touch on what a deep, complex process that is, and how much time it deserves. Because I'm speaking from my own experience, but there's a lot to each of us, you know? You know, each of us is really deep. You know, we're each kind of like a well of so many really fascinating, complex things. In fact, I was just talking to somebody about, there's a documentary I'm watching about Steve Jobs. And, you know, Steve Jobs was somebody who, one of the points the narrator made was that how incredible it was that when he died, I think this was 2012, the impact his death had on just the general public. And what was almost more interesting than watching, like, videos of Steve Jobs, you know, just talking, because, I mean, he was a very, you know, he was an interesting, compelling person and very good at articulating large ideas and, you know, kind of what he was doing. But the way he affected his team, like people on his team, generally people who were at high levels. So the guy who ran the ad agency that did commercials for them, one of his team leads. And, you know, everyone said he was a really difficult, challenging guy. On a personal level, he was not an easy person to love. And yet at the same time, their lives were so deeply touched by their experiences with him. You know, people would weep openly at, you know, describing. And it was, I just thought it was so fascinating. And it just sort of gave me a appreciation for just, you know, honoring the complexity of human beings.
Yes, we are very complex. So we are a we inside of us. I think that's the complexity, is that it's not just the learning to love the we of other people, but the we that's in me, you know, that they're, because we are complex. There's so many, you know, from a evolutionary psychology perspective, we have these different brains that are optimized to want and look for different things.
That's right.
And then we have all the personalities that we learned, you know, to grow up with in our particular families and environments. So, you know, there's this we here.
Right. And I think too, I think one of the big challenges that I'm personally working with a lot is looking at and with the shadow sides, with compassion and just witnessing.
Yes.
And not trying to make them go away.
Yeah.
You know, I think that for me is the ultimate journey. I don't know if I'll ever be done with it.
You know, I don't think you will.
Yeah.
It's a spiral into deeper and deeper acceptance and compassion and valuing, even seeing what those shadow sides, the value that they bring in a way too.
Don't you think, I mean, this is just sort of my experience, and this is just like Facebook, for example, but I find that when I'm just looking, when somebody's just saying like, you know, they're crushing it and their life is really awesome. And, you know, look at all this cool stuff I'm doing. I just feel really depressed and lonely.
Mm. And like in a sense of like comparative, you mean like you'll find yourself comparing?
Yeah, I think there's that piece of it for sure. You know, sort of that like, oh, mm-hmm. wow, look, you know, at the beautiful meal they made or like the cool, mm-hmm. their business is crushing it or whatever. But I think there's also for myself, I'm a very like connective driven person. And so I almost feel like my antenna is always out and seeking connection with other people, but at a very authentic level. And so mm-hmm. my little antenna just feels like there's nothing to connect with.
Mm. Like with those people where everything's going great because they're sort of hiding their humanity yeah. and vulnerability.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's sort of like yeah. the whole person isn't showing up. Just sort of the...
Totally.
Like the, you know, kind of the tribe part of us. You know, I think we all have like a pretty hard, strong drive within us to like, I am a worthy and desirable member of the tribe. And so there's a little part of us that's always sort of like in selling mode, always trying to, you know, kind of like convince other people like I'm worthy, right? You're not going to kick me out, right? You know, kind mm-hmm. of, you know, it's that sort of that weird sort of thing. And I think in a lot of social media, it's just in hyperdrive.
Yeah.
Because we're like presenting a self to the public. Anyway, I don't even know how we got into this, but it's a good conversation, Leaf, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's a conversation.
right on. So I wanted to ask you, do you have like a staff of people? Do you have like a support staff that is... kind of holding you and supporting you and helping you?
I don't have any like regular employees at this time. I have different people. So sometimes when I do corporate trainings, I will hire co-facilitators or when I do a retreat and I need somebody. It really kind of depends, you know, and then I have, you know, people that work on contractual basis, you know, whether it's graphic design or I have a coach that works with me and, mm-hmm. you know, so, but I don't have any, currently any regular. I think there's one or two positions that are coming up that, so I'm kind of ready to let go a lot more of a couple parts of my business. And mm-hmm. there are two people I'm in conversation with who might kind of move in, I guess you could call it a director type position. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, the corporate work that I do, it's just not, I think it's really important. I enjoy doing the specific work, but my heart isn't primarily focused on serving that audience. You know, I'm more so inspired by people who are facilitators, teachers, coaches, self-employed, you know, solopreneur types. Mm-hmm. And so I'm talking with somebody about taking a director position of, you know, actually kind of taking, I would stay involved on an executive level, mm-hmm. but she would be, you know, she would be the primary person for the team trainings that I do.
Oh, okay. Got it. All right. I wasn't even necessarily yeah. talking about direct staff so much as I'm using support, mm-hmm. I guess, in a pretty loose sense, just people yeah, like almost like a consortium, if that may not be quite the right word, but just kind of like a mm-hmm. loose group of people.
Like an advisory team. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that would be like a really good.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. I would say, you know, I think of my sort of inner team as, you know, my coach, my counselor, my, you know, my few super closest friends and intimates. I have had in the past mastermind type groups that I've worked with. Right mm-hmm. now, the closest thing is a small group of facilitators that connect together every once in a while. But it's something, I'm actually appreciating the question right now, because there's two support pieces I've been kind of putting off. One is sort of a advisory team that I meet with maybe once a month that help kind of share the vision of where I'm moving the business and get some advice from some kind of cheerleaders and healthy constructive critics. And then something similar to a mastermind group, some peers that are self-employed. It's been a good year or so since I've had one of those.
Okay.
Creating them from other people, but not myself. Yeah.
Well, it occurred to me as you were talking about your own challenges. I was just wondering, do you have other people that you can like bounce things off of? Cause you really are doing a lot of it yourself right now. So, and I think that's a challenge that, it's my challenge, it's a challenge most of us who are sort of solopreneurs have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's really important. It's actually one of the things I'm trying to build into the Spark Life Collective is a template. The current plan right now is to create a spreadsheet and ask people what kind of support they're looking for. Like, do they just want a buddy? Do they want a small group? And do some networking and matching, and then do sort of just a training session that shows people, like, here's a template that you could use for your sessions. And, like very little control, but just sort of empower people with some tools and do some networking to help them.
Because
I think you're right. We solopreneurs really need that.
It's certainly my own, I don't know if it's a challenge exactly, but I certainly go back and forth between, being a maker. I'm an artist and I'm a maker and I really like to make stuff. And so I don't really like to spend that much of my time necessarily with people. And it's not a bad thing. It's simply, what lights you up. And so there are a lot of people like me who
totally
are like, hey man, I just want to paint, I just want to like make something cool and leave me alone.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm really, really super aware of how much I value community, and I value having smart, a consortium, like a really loose organization of just kind of smart, talented people that I feel good about leaning on when I need support. And at the same time, I can make myself available to them, and offer the same thing. So I see it as sort of a mutual, together for mutual benefit, if you will. I think it's a challenge. And I myself am kind of negotiating that path as well right now.
Mm. Well, come on over to Spark Life and we'll get you connected to some people.
So this is like a nice segue to the next question I was going to ask you, which was, for people who are listening and they're thinking like, I think with you, Leaf, it's you're a very experiential person. And I find that words are not enough to describe you and what you do, because so much of what you do is just having an experience with you. So for people who, can people go to your collective and, can they do the equivalent of a campus visit?
I like that. Probably right now the equivalent of the visit is at the very top of, so the website is thesparklife.org. There is a 5-minute, I think it's like a 5-minute video, and I'm actually going to replace that with just a lot shorter 1-minute like introduction, and then have this one more as an optional one, because some people are, they don't have time for 5-minute videos these days, right? But I would say that the 5-minute, that's a pretty good campus tour. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a tour, because it's both me introducing the intentions of the site, and then giving some short video clips showing from some of the live events and a little bit of the platform behind the scene and how it's all structured. So yeah, I think it's pretty similar to that.
Okay. So your 5-minute introductory video is your recommendation.
Yeah, I like this. You're kind of convincing me of I like the idea of calling it a campus tour. So
yeah. You know, I do too. Again, this is like, you know, me, I'm a, you know, born in the 20th century and like most people probably listening. And so it's, I just find it to be a more, you know, it's a familiar structure I can wrap my brain around.
Mm-hmm. How do you like the term academy, just out of curiosity?
It doesn't, for myself, it doesn't, when I hear academy, it makes me think very much of sort of the really traditional, old-fashioned, like, you know, Groton Academy, like these sort of East Coast prep schools. And so, you know, that's the vibe it has for me personally. Academies, I generally think of an academy as being a fairly like focused place. So some people will go to, you know, get their cosmetician license at, you know, maybe they call that an academy. To me, it feels rather small and I'm not sure it does what you do justice.
Hmm. Well, I had to figure out word, because I mean, college and university doesn't really work. And I don't know. I'll have to think about that. Anyway, it's probably outside of this conversation.
I would be very happy to have another conversation if you want about naming and things like that. It's something I enjoy doing. So, you know, I guess like my last question for you is, oh my God, I can talk. Is there anything that we have not touched on yet that you would really like people to know about you and about your work?
Let me just pause on that one. A common friend and teacher that you and I both have, I am eternally grateful for reminding me that I can pause, and that's Mark Silver. I remember going to one of his very few in-person workshops, and while he was teaching, unlike a lot of teachers and presenters that are like talk constantly, Phil, always go, he like reminded me, like, actually you can kind of pause and connect to your heart.
Absolutely.
So let me do that for a moment. So two things come up for me. One is something I'm doing, and the other is just sort of a general thing I'd want to say to your listeners. I guess I'll starting with the specific is, I have a three-part program called Game Changers that the first part just finished, and it's about the inner game, kind of a relationship to yourself. I use the alliteration of M's to kind of help the program have a theme. And so in the first game, it's about mystery, meaning, marriage to yourself, and mission. Mm-hmm. And the second part that starts in January and that has three open spaces is the M's of magic. What's your unique? The second journey is about the outer game. It's about completing some sort of project and getting it launched in the world. Mm-hmm. So it's about magic, manifestation, marketing, money, momentum.
Got it.
And then the third stage of the journey is for those who are teachers, facilitators, coaches, and want to learn about the art of creative facilitation and engagement. It's a journey for that. So for people who relate to that and have some project they want to launch in 2021, there's a few spaces available for that. And that's been a really fun group. We've had 8 people in the first group, and a few, because of circumstances, have to drop out. So we have some openings.
So, Leif, can I interrupt for a moment?
Yeah, totally.
So the question I have is, if you have not attended that first part, you know, can you attend the second part and have it be meaningful? Are there materials and stuff they can study? Like, because to me, it seems like you'd really want to do both.
It's nice to do both. I don't think it's at all necessary. And some people have already done a lot of that inner work, and they have maybe they're feeling a good connection to themselves and a sense of what their mission is, or maybe that's just not what they're feeling called to right now. And they're like, I just have to hustle and create this event or this offer or this book or, you know, I'm happy to help. It's always going to be intertwined. You can't have the outer without the inner. So,
So that's it for us today. I want to thank you again. For taking the time out of your busy schedule.
my pleasure. It was a wonderful conversation, Judy. And I hope whoever's listening creates whatever support they need. And I'm available as I can help. And these are difficult times. So reach out even more than you would have before.